Good morning. How are you doing? You all right? So, my name's Chris. What's your name? Should we do that again? Is that all right? It's all right. Morning. Are you all right? So, my name's Chris. What's your name? All right, I think I've got most of your names. So, I'm a friend of Alan's. It's always good to be here. And a friend of many of you, actually. My name's Chris Duffett. Occasionally, people get in a bit of a pickle over introducing me, and they say Chris Duffet, which is very nice. But it's Duffett or Duvet. And I'm just so excited to be amongst you today, especially with this Opportunities Day. And I want to remind each and every one of you of what you've got. So that's my job today. Remind you of what you've got in you, on you, and out of you. So could you just put your hand on you and in, on, and out? Yeah, you're so good. Have you done this before? I love it. So in, on, and out. And these three words came to me on the plane this morning as I was. I live near Cambridge, very posh. And I flew up this morning to be with you. And as I was just waiting to get onto the plane, there were a large group of Orthodox Jews, all guys, with amazing curls, like amazing. And they had these boxes. You're right there, Tam. Amazing curls. You scratched your head when I said amazing curls. He misses it. And they had these boxes, and in the boxes there are scriptures, and they tie the boxes upon their arms on their heads. What is that box called? I couldn't remember. What's that box? Phylactery. A phylactery. And I tried not to stare. I tried not. But as I was going, kind of queuing up, and I kept looking, because they were proper kissing the phylacteries. They were like as they were coming out the prayer room, taking off their, giving it right kisses. And I didn't know what was going on, other than as I was queuing up, looking, I felt the Lord say, you know what, you don't need to do anything like that, because I live in you. And I saw a group of beautiful, wonderfully devoted men seeking to be near God. And I want to remind you of what you've got in you, on you, out of you, the living Lord Jesus, who's in you, on you, and out of you. So I'd love to do, we got paper, woohoo! Okay, I'm going to give out some paper. It's coming. And on that bit of paper, I want you to think about what you've got. What have you got as a Christian? What's so good about being a Christian? If you are a Christian here this morning, what's so good about it? If you're not a Christian, what have you seen that is good? If you had to just choose three words of the good things that you've got, what would you choose? What would you choose? Take a bit of paper. What three things would you choose? And you can write them on that bit of paper if you've got a pen. If you haven't got a pen, don't worry. Don't worry. Or grab a pen from someone next to you. I'm not very well organized this morning. We'll get there. Okay, three words to describe what you've got as a Christian. What's so good about what you've got as a Christian? Three words. Have a think of those. As you're thinking about those three words, I want to tell you a little story. On Friday, Ray came to see me in the pub. I spend most Friday mornings in Wetherspoons. Hands up if you've got a local Wetherspoons that you like. Cracking places, amazing. I've spent the last 3 years most Friday mornings in our local Wetherspoons. It's a busy place. Ray came to see me on Friday to say thank you. He's still in shock. 2 weeks before, I was going round the tables in Wetherspoons giving out our beer mats. We provide the beer mats for our local Wetherspoons. We've printed 15,000 beer mats, each one inviting people to for us to pray for them. If there's anything they want prayer. So I'll just, here's a couple of beer mats. Sorry. And I was giving up. Oh, sorry. I proper got you. Sorry. I didn't mean to. Are you all right? You haven't got any paper cuts. Okay. So I was giving out these beer mats, not like that, but I was giving them around the table. And there was this fella there, and he was drinking rosé, which in our Wetherspoons, just a little bit weird. Because most blokes are there. I mean, it is 10 o'clock in the morning. Most blokes are there, and they're just down in the pints. So he's sitting there with his rosé, and I try not to be rude and talk about him sitting there with his lady drink. And and then I go, oh, mate, what's happened to your hand? He goes, oh, in May, I crushed my fingers moving some garden ornaments. Properly crushed them, and he had a brace on his hand. And I stood there and I went, you know what I do? You haven't met me before. I'm city centre chaplain. I said, I'm a Baptist minister, a bit like being a vicar. I said, what I do is I pray for people for healing. Do you want me to pray for your hand? And he went, yeah, go on then. He lifted his hand to me. No joke. I stood there and went, what now? And he went, yeah, why not? Why not? So I go, all right, can I hold your hand? He goes, yeah, okay. So I hold his hand and instantly, it was completely healed. It freaked me out, the instant nature of it. It was like there, and he goes, whoa, I can do this. And he started doing this. He started moving his fingers. He took the brace off. He started doing that. I called my friend over. He tells my friend, he's in shock. He's like, you're a good man. I said, it's not me. It's not me. That's Jesus. You know what? That's a sign. That's a sign. So we're talking about the sign. A sign points to something. So we talk about God knowing him and loving him. And 2 weeks later, he comes back to the pub. He lives miles away. Comes back to the pub. He said, the hospital are perplexed. I have been dismissed from the hospital. I no longer need to see my doctor. And I just want you to know that my wife is blown away. She can't, and he keeps doing this. He keeps moving around. And I was with a large team on Friday, and he called them over. He said, look at my hand. It's been healed completely. Whew, just so good. And he came back to say, thank you. I explained it was not me, but what I've got made that happen. I want you to think about what people need in your community. Have you got your bit of paper with what you've got? Okay, what kind of things have you written? Say again. Top of the head? Okay, for thinking, you've got click. Yeah, lovely. What else have you got? Oh, great. You got Jesus? Great, you got clarity. What else have you got? Freedom! What? Oi, great! What else? Everlasting hope, love, peace. This is so good. What else have you got? Holy Spirit, purpose. Any more? God the Father. This is so good. Joy. Oh, I love it. I want you to do something now. I want you to think about what people in your community need. What do they need? What do they need? And I want you to write it out on just a post-it, if you can take one and pass it on. Hopefully we've got enough post-its. Take one, pass it on. If not, we've got some more paper. Just think about what does your neighbor need? What do the people in your school, your college need? What do they need? The word, great. Just write it down. We're going to do something. And I hope it'll work. Okay, just as you're doing that, I want you to... Can you do two things at once? Is that all right? You're right, you can do things at once. Can I share another story? God spoke to me. Forgive me if you've heard this story, because it impacted me so much. God spoke to me in a harvester in a pub while I was having breakfast. And it was a little while ago now, but I was with a couple of fellow evangelists from the Light Project. And we were there to talk, to pray, to hang out. And we had the place to ourselves, to be honest. And we had the buffet to ourselves, which was quite a challenge. I took upon it as a challenge. Right, I'm going to have 13 courses. You know, it's like, and you pay your £7, and you want to get as much as you can for that £7. So we're having a feast in a harvester, and we got the place to ourselves, but then two young ladies walk in. And I turn to these two young ladies, and straight away I have a word on my heart for one of them. It's someone's name. And then the next thought I have is, how am I going to tell her that? Because that's just going to be weird. She's eating her breakfast. If I go up to her and go, hi, how you doing? I've got someone's name on my heart for you. That's just going to be weird. So I bottle it. And I just keep that name. I just think about that name. And then I make a mistake. I tell my friend that I've got a word for one of the young ladies. And he says, you have to go and tell her. So I wait until she pays her bill. She stands at the bar with her friend, and I go up and I say, hi, sorry to disturb you. I'm a Baptist minister, a bit like being a vicar, I said. And I've got a word on my heart for you. It's someone's name. She went, you what? I said, I've got someone's name on my heart for you. Can I share it with you? She went, yeah, go on then. Go on then. And I said, okay, the name is Michael. She went, oh, how did you know? I said, how did I know what? She said, I've been eating my breakfast and all I'm thinking about is my dad. I miss him so much. His name was Michael. He died recently. Oh, I miss him. How did you know that? So I spoke about God knowing her and loving her and how he had given me that name to tell her so she would know that. And I thought she was taking it all in, and her friend, and her friend standing there like this on the bar, she went, you know what? We need to get down that psychic fair. I said, no, you don't. I'm not psychic. I haven't, like, this is from God, a name for you so you would know. And I explain again. I talk about prayer, how God speaks. She starts to cry. She gives me a big hug. She says, thank you so much. That is just amazing. I haven't heard that before, she said. That's amazing. She shakes my hand and off she goes. And I go and join my friends again and enjoy the 12th course of 13 courses with our brunch. And unbeknown to me, this young lady went to talk to the waitress. Well, the waitress comes up to us and says, excuse me. She points at me. You made that young lady cry. I went, yeah. Did she tell you why? She went, yeah, she did. I've got goosebumps all over me. Can you pray for me, please? I said, I'd love to pray for you. What do you want prayer about? She poured out her heart about her grandkids. Poured out real mess that her grandkids are in. And then before I was able to speak, she spoke some words over me, and it was as if God spoke at that moment. She said, before I was able to pray, she said, you know what? People like us need people like you. People like us need people like you. In one bit, you've got what you've got. And we've heard some of that. That's brilliant. On another bit of paper, hopefully, you've got what your community, people in your community needs. Have you got that? Do you want to shout out some of them? What have you shouted out? Hope. They need hope. Security, love, they need Jesus. Purpose, what? Peace, freedom, life, What else have you got? Hugs. They need hugs. Come on. They need hugs. They need big change. Yeah, come on. Someone to listen. Brilliant. I love that. Right, can I take your two bits of paper? Have you got them there? Oh, you've got more than two. That's all right. All right, we're going to do something incredibly technical now. Two bits of paper. What you've got, what people need. We're going to do something very technical as a statement. What I want you to do is put the two paper, bits of paper together and scrunch it up like that. Have you got that? And would you just hold that for a moment? What people need is what you've got. Desperately need what you've got. Would you hold on to that as long as you can? Don't put it in the wash, it gets messy. Would you hold on to that as long as you got? As a reminder that what you've got, people need so badly, so desperately. And as we look at the opportunities to serve and to love people, would you have that confidence that what you've got is so good? It's so good. Keep hold of that. So, what you've got in you, I want to remind you that the living Lord Jesus lives within you. Colossians 1, verse 27 declares the most beautiful mystery. It was hidden for ages, and it's been revealed to you and me. So Colossians 1, 27 says this: to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, that's you and me, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ where? In you. In. What you've got. In. So let's get our heads around this just for a moment. The most beautiful, the most compassionate, the most loving, caring, generous, powerful man who has ever lived lives in you. Would you believe that? That what you've got, it's not good, it's more than good, it's so good that the living Christ in you, and for each one of us who has decided to become a Christian, we have received him into us. We've become possessed by him, by his spirit. He lives in us. And the promise that Paul writes in Colossians is we're going to become more and more and more like him. So what you've got in you, remember that. What you've got on you. You know, we can experience Jesus on us. Do you know that? I was in the post office in Biggleswade. It's a real town. I'm not making it up. And I went in, posted a parcel, came out, and there's a guy there. Went, hey, look at you, hey, twinkling your eyes, smile on your face, got lucky, have you, hey, hey, hey. I went, seriously? I went, pardon? Hey, look at you, have you got lucky with, hey, twinkling your eyes, smile on your... And it just went on like this, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, yay, twinkle, hey. He goes, how come you're so happy? Said, oh, right, I'll tell you, but I'm not sure if you'll believe me. He goes, go on, tell me, hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. All right, okay, I'm going to tell you. I'm standing there, he's looking, I love Jesus. He went, yeah. You're serious, aren't you? I said, yeah, I am. I love Jesus. I became a Christian when I was 17 years old. I love Jesus. He's rescued me. That's what why I am the way I am. Jesus on us changes how we look. Yeah. And people will look at you and see Jesus on you. People who have yet to receive Jesus within them and to for him to be their boss, their king, they can experience him too. I had a volunteer called Jenny. She was just amazing. And it was Jenny's turn to come up with the idea of what we should do in the city centre. And Jenny came up with an idea called Postcards from Heaven. Jenny, what's that? What's Postcards from Heaven? She says, what we'll do, we'll get some postcards, right? We'll write some encouraging words on these postcards and give them to people. I said, is that it? She went, yeah, that's it. I was like, right, okay. Have you got the postcards? And she produced these blank, plain postcards. I was like, okay. What about a poster? No, I haven't got a poster. Just Postcards from Heaven. I was like, okay. And I'm thinking inside, stupid. This is not going to work. But it did. It worked. And what really got me was that there was this couple. We split into two teams. I'm one end of the square. They're the other. They're like the other end. Oh, it's been raining. It's wet. Puddles on the floor. They're talking to this young couple. And I keep checking that they're right. And I'm with my team. We're talking to people. I keep checking. Talking with a young couple. And all of a sudden, the bloke is lying in a puddle. I think, oh, that's a bit weird. He's lying in a puddle. The team start freaking out. So they're doing this. Come on over. So I run over as quick as I can. Run over. Are you all right? Someone says, can I call for an ambulance? This guy's lying on the ground. He's groaning. And he looks terrified. Shall I call an ambulance? No, just wait a moment. Managed to get him up. Turned to his girlfriend, said, have you been like to church before or anything? They go, no. Has this ever happened before? And they went, no. Have you seen anything like this before? No. It's like, right, okay, get him up. This guy can't talk. He looks petrified. Jenny's standing there and she went, I didn't even touch him. I didn't touch him, Chris. I didn't touch him. I just gave him a postcard. And then I said, do you want me to pray for you? And he said, yeah. And I was standing over there. He was standing over there. And I said this prayer and he fell over. He fell over. And I was like, okay. I got this guy an apple juice. He drank some of his apple juice. I'm talking with him. And he's able to say one sentence. I've met with God. That's all he could say. I've met with God. We managed half an hour later to talk a little bit more. He's kind of come round. He says, I need to turn. I need to live for God. We explain how he can do that. He tells all his family. We get him a Bible, a Slovakian Bible. We meet in Greg's the Baker's. We're sitting there with his family, his cousins, his sister's there. We're having a cup of tea. And we go through the Bible together. And then he says, Chris, can you do that thing to my cousin so he can lie on the floor? I'm like, that wasn't me. That was. People can experience Jesus on them. We can, on us. What we've got is in us. It's on us. I remember Sunday morning praying for a lady in the pub. She'd been sitting with her mates. She came up to me and went, do you do that healing? I'm like, what? Do you do that healing? She said. I was like, oh, right. Do you want me to pray for healing? She stood there like a little girl, hands together, eyes closed like that, and just waited. Waited for us to pray, just like that. Her friends are laughing, just like that. So we pray for her, and we say amen. She opens her eyes and says, excuse me, but what is this all on me? What is it? She's looking around. What is this? So, oh, what does it feel like? She said, oh, it feels like peace. I said, oh, that's God. She went, what, God in the pub? It's like, yeah, God in the pub. So in us, on us. I've written a poem. It's called The Church Has Left the Building. And a lot of what you're looking to do is out there, isn't it? So in us, on us, we're going to look at out of us. Have you heard? Have you heard? The church is gone. She's not here, but somewhere down the road, instead, out of this place, like an oyster whose pearl has sprung legs and legged it. She is glimmering, shyly shining, and people are squinting at the beauty, liking what they see. She looks kind of divine, a shadow of heavenly beauty. When she goes out of the beige club-like dull walls, when she goes, she glows, and goodness is felt. She can't hide. She's colourful and confident. She is being prepared as a bride for the sake of this world that is missing the inside hope that affects the outside mess. The church has left the building. Jesus goes before us. He's out. Have you experienced that? Like, you meet people and you think, hang on, Jesus has been here. Whew, how did that happen? Luke 10, Matthew 10, Jesus sends out his first friends. He says, go and find the people of peace. Who are the people of peace? They're the people that Jesus has already been working in. And you meet people and you think, whoa, what's been going on with you? I'm just looking at my notes. And when we go out, we experience Jesus. Time and time again, I don't know why I'm surprised, but when I go, I encounter him. I encounter him in a tattoo and piercing parlor. I encounter him in an e-cig shop. I encounter him in the pub. When I go, I encounter him on the streets as I sit with people who are homeless. I encounter Jesus. And I want to encourage you, what you've got, if you're missing on that encounter of the on and the out, would you go? Would you do something? Because when you do something, you meet with him. You meet him and experience his heart for the lost, and the least. And what a privilege you and I have to be able to do that as we go, when we go. So, hands up, ready for the in, up, out? No, in, on. Hang on, I'm getting confused. It's been a long day already. So, what we've got in us, on us, and out from us. Would you hold on to that? That the riches of Jesus, the riches, is not just for now. And as you think of signing up, as you look at what you can do as the body of Jesus together, would you remember the riches of Jesus in you, on you, and out from you? On the plane this morning, as I was coming up, I felt the Lord say that he wanted to say hello. And sounds a little bit like, that he wanted to say hello from within you. And I just wonder, for those of you who struggle thinking about Jesus living in you, would you be willing for him to say hello from within you? Great. Because I believe that he wants to say hello. He wants to remind you that what you've got is so beautiful. So beautiful. The life of Jesus within you. You know, when he teaches his first friends in John 15 and he says, come and abide, live, make your home in me, and I will live in you. He's not talking like, wouldn't that be nice? Oh, that's a nice idea. It's a real thing. We can live in him. He can live in us by his spirit. It's real. It's real. So would you be willing for him to say hello? Just to remind you that he lives in you. Just a few minutes or so. It's so good to be with Melly. Most of you know Melly. Melly's up for praying for you this morning, I know. And there's a prayer team as well who'll be up for praying for you. Melly is starting Light Project Glasgow and working alongside you and others. And it's so good to see what Mel is doing. She's left a cracking team in Chester. They're a beautiful team, aren't they? They're great. And is willing to see what the Lord will do as you go. We've got, here they are. We've got some leaflets revealing Jesus. It explains all about the Light Project. It's something that I set up 17 years ago. It's growing. We've got loads of students this year. It's exciting. We'd love you to pray for us. We'd love you to give to help us do what we do. Please do grab one of these from Mel or me if you'd love to support us in some way. Pray for us, give to us, join us, train with us, whatever. But okay, I'm going to pray and then we can respond. And for those of us who want to hear the Lord say hello to us, we'll do that. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are in us. For those who have accepted you, thank you that you live in us. And for those of us who have yet to accept you into our lives, would we do that this morning? Would we be brave enough to say, come into my life? Thank you that you are on us. And I humbly ask for those of us who have yet to experience that, come, Lord Jesus. Would you fall upon us by your Spirit? May he remind us. And may we know that you are out of us, before us. And as we consider signing up, being part of different teams with Food Bank, Encounter, Ford, whatever it is, Lord, may we be willing to do a new thing and to go. In Jesus' name.